reminding us of what we are in this very dark world, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
We are lights, little lights, in a very dark world. We've got to say, God, take my heart, take my life, take me and use me. Light up my life with your love, with your goodness and your grace. Let me be seen, but not me. You be seen in me, Lord. Let me decrease. You increase in my life so others around will see the difference.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We live in a dark world, and it's getting darker by the day. Boy, light is desperately needed, isn't it? You see, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can. We'll hear of an inspiring case in point on today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. 2 Chronicles records a dark time in history that got even darker. With that said, there was a flickering light that began to shine. From 2 Chronicles 22 and verse 9, here's Pastor Jeff.
Somehow, some way, Ahaziah escapes. He gets out the back door or something, and he's gone. And he's going, where is he? Can't find him. So verse 9, and he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him. So they caught him running, for he was hid in Samaria. He got away quite a ways, but they caught up with him. You'll always get caught. What cracks me up is when a guy takes off in his car and thinks, I'm going to outrun these guys. When was the last time you saw somebody outrun? Now, granted, motorcycle does better. But when was the last time you saw a car guy try to get away? I mean, they got helicopters, and they'll stay on the news. Now he's turning left, and you got to go through this whole thing. And then finally he goes, okay, I give up, and he hits the ground. So he runs. He gets caught. For he was hid in Samaria and brought him to Jehu. Man, this judgment day. They're bringing him to the judge. But he's also the executioner. He's all in one. Why? Because God ordained him. And God sent him. And when they had slain him, took him out. What I learned from this as I was reading it, the wages of sin is it's death. And God judges sin. That's just the bottom line here. He judges sin. And be sure of this, that your sin will find you out. It will hunt you down, and it'll be shouted from the rooftops. Where are you going to run? What are you going to do? So they slew him, buried him. They had to take him all the way to Jerusalem to bury him because he was the king's son. Because they said to themselves, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all of his heart. I mean, he's from a good lineage. He had a great dad. And so they respected his body because Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. He made his mistakes. We learn from his mistakes. Yes, he compromised. And he had a compromising and a kind of a wandering heart, if you will. But yet he always came back to his center. He always came back and repented and cried out to God. And God knew his heart. That's the main thing, isn't it? That God knows our hearts. Your heart's not evil. Come on, turn your heart towards the Lord. And he'll show himself strong towards you. Pull you out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. And give you a new song, even praise unto God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Why? Because God's hand is on your life now. It's awesome. Yeah. He sought the Lord with all of his heart, not just part of it, all of it. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. Now the head guy is taken out. There's chaos in the camp, confusion. Sin is complicated, and sin always messes everything up. So what do we need to do with it? We need to get away from it. We need to repent of it. We need to deal with it. And we have an advocate. We have the blood of Jesus. If we just confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to set us back in that relationship again, walking and talking with the Lord and fellowshipping with him and worshiping him and loving him. When we do that, then we've got fellowship and his blood cleanses us from all sin. And we have that, first you get this going, you know, the vertical, and then you got the horizontal with your fellow man, with that mean boss that you're working with, that unlovely husband that is in your house, or unlovely wife. You can deal with it. How? Well, just by getting the vertical first, getting your heart right with the Lord, being filled with the Spirit, and then you've got the horizontal automatically. And things will fall into place because you keep crying and casting your cares upon the Lord. And he's there to give us the strength to be able to be a witness in a bad situation. Amen? He'll do that. He's good. So many promises. So what's crazy about this is, sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And you got to be careful. Should I go there? Is that a place where I need to be seen? Is that where I should go? Ask yourself that question. Because sometimes you're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's going to come back at you. So now we have a tale of two women at the end of this chapter. We have one is a very self-seeking woman, and the other is unselfish hero. She's just awesome. So two different women, two different hearts. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahazi, saw that her son was dead. I mean, everybody knew about it. Everybody heard about it. They had the procession. They had the funeral there in Jerusalem. I mean, it's, you know, she knew what was going on. Saw him dead. She arose. Remember I said there was a co-reigning going on here? Well, now Ahasuerus, he's gone. He's not reigning. Now Mama takes it. And she's going to take a heavy hand now and intervene for what's going on in front of her. She is the one that's self-seeking. Notice what she does. Saw that he was dead. She rose up and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. Again, an onslaught, bloodbath, a revenge, poisoning her soul. She don't care. She just wants the rule. And she knows what she needs to do. If she's going to be ruling, remove all the royal lineage. Take out David's seed. Now that's from the devil. That's from the devil himself. Take out Jesus. Remove him. Because that devil knows that through the lineage of David, the Messiah is coming. So this is the second time it's threatened. And then what really gets me is that she's killing her own grandkids. How could you kill your own grandkids? You must have so much hate in your heart and so much evil. You don't care about anything but you. Killing her grandkids. I could never do that. Maybe my kids, no. In fact, I think it would have been great if I would have had grandkids first. But it doesn't work out that way. But I love grandkids. Oh man, they're the best, aren't they? Here, I'm done with this one. But I sure had fun. But I'm glad you're responsible for them. So clean them up. Love those grandkids. But she kills her own grandchildren. But, oh man, verse 11. Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king. Now, what's taking place here is There was one kid left. One of the grandkids were left. The littlest one, the 1-year-old. It wasn't there at the time. But she knows, and she's looking for him. But they took Joash. Now, remember that name, because we're going to hear about Joash and how God is so awesome. He is so faithful. They took little Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain. So, you know, I don't know what went on. Maybe his body was under some of the dead bodies. But they found him. They put him with his nurse in a bedchamber. They put him in a closet to hide out where all the bed stuff is. And he stayed there for quite a while. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, Jehoram, and the wife of Jehoiada the priest. So we know that this woman is related. The wife of Jehoiada the priest, the priest's wife. She has a heart and she's got a call of God on her that just makes her move quickly. She was the sister of Ahaziah and hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. In other words, Joash miraculously got away. It just so happened. No, nothing just so happens with God. He's watching after the seed. He's saying there's no way Joash is going to be taken away by this incredible woman who's on God's side, who's listening to the voice of the Lord, being moved by the Spirit. To hide this baby king. He is going to be king. He's just a baby. Remind you of anybody? As the three wise men came, or there was more than three. But they came and they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh to that baby king. How can this be? How can this be the Messiah? But it was. Blew him away. And they gave those things for a king. Let alone the myrrh, which was for burial. I mean, everything that they gave. So David's light, and here's the main thing. David's light. Over in chapter 21, look with me to verse 7. And this is Ahab trying to do his way and trying to do his thing to destroy David's seed. But now it says in chapter 21, verse 7, howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David. He would not destroy Judah. He allowed the north to be destroyed, Israel, the 10 tribes. The Assyrians came in there and cleaned house. They took them, cut their ears off, cut their noses off, put hooks in their mouths, and stripped them naked and walked them into another nation. Took them away from their familiarity and their language and put them into a different people as slaves. The Assyrians were so cruel, so mean, they would just devastate a whole nation when they would take them away. Can you imagine? Everything is, you're no longer a king, you're no longer a captain, you're no longer nothing but a slave. And your ears been cut off, and you're just ugly, and you're just mutilated. And now you got to serve these people, or you die. Horrible. God says, not Judah, not Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah. I mean, this is the Judah that's bringing forth the Messiah, house of David. Because, notice in verse 7, of the covenant, the promise that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. When God makes a promise, guys, stand on it. Hold it close. It's right on the money. It will come true. It's God's word. Honor his word above his name. That's how powerful his promises, his covenants to us are. Really. A light. Oh, it might be a little flickering light, but it's a light. It almost went out, but it didn't go out. It stayed lit. God kept it lit. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Guys, we are lights, little lights in a very dark world. We've got to say, God, take my heart, take my life, take me and use me. Light up my life with your love, with your goodness and your grace. Let me be seen, but not me. You be seen in me, Lord. Let me decrease. You increase in my life. So others around will see the difference that I really, truly love you. And I live for you and I trust you. It was almost blown out. And then there's that whole thing with how Satan sought to destroy the children of Israel. Remember how that went? And when they kill all the babies and they went for it. There was that little baby that the mother said, you know what, I'm not going to let them come and take my kid. And they're not going to kill my kid. I'm going to put my kid into a little basket. I'm just going to trust the Nile. I'm going to trust God. She loved God. She pushed that little thing out there and just said, God, he's in your hands now. You take him right into the Pharaoh's daughter. Boom. God directed that. Moses would come. That's why when we look at these pictures that he gives us, it's so beautiful. Herod in Bethlehem. I mean, unbelievable. Herod said, the wise men told me that he's coming from there and he's going to be a little baby. And so we got to go and kill all the babies. Same thing. Let's destroy all the children. So at least we'll get that one that we need to get. What happened? Jesus went to Egypt. Was protected from, and that's interesting, that he hid out in Egypt. That destructive nation became a nation that God respects and looks to. He calls them Egypt, my people. Wow. Verse 12, and he was with them, this is incredible, in the house of God. They hid him in the temple of the Lord. I don't know how they did, but the temple is a big place, had a lot of places where they could hide, and he probably played with the temple kids, and he got mixed up with them, and so after a while, she just thought, you know, he's probably dead. He was probably, maybe something happened, I don't know, but he's not around here anymore. I don't know who he is, and can't even recognize him because a year old, and notice this, in the house for what, how many years? Man, what are you going to do? Are you going to be able to recognize this little boy? No way. He's just hanging out with the temple bros, and he's playing whatever they play in temple. And he's just kicking back. And he's growing. So he'd be there for 7 years. And as we move along in the other next chapters. But notice, Athaliah, I think she thought her position is secure. There's nobody coming against me. Nobody. Because I killed every one of them. There's nothing that anybody can do. I am solid in this position. Okay, it's foolishness. So she reigned, it says, over the land. You know, God says to us, Philippians 1:6, he says, he that started a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So never give up. He called you. He saved you. And if you're away from the Lord, hey, prodigals come home. Always they come home. Because they're prodigals. They've tasted and seen the Lord is good. They've been in that sweet spot of being cleansed, experiencing his grace, the warm living water flowing from his goodness over our lives. And then to go out, try to get into the world again, forget it. You're going to be miserable, man, because you're going to know how good it is to be in the Lord, and yet what you're experiencing is really coming up short now. It was short before when you didn't know the Lord, but now it's really weird. You're not going to stay there. You're going to come home, or you suffer. You go through it. How much can you take until you cry, Uncle, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to fight my wife anymore. I don't want to fight my husband. I don't want to struggle anymore. Please, Lord, help me. You cry out, save me. He's right there. He will save you. You call upon his name, he will deliver you totally. 1 Chronicles 17:12, I want to finish with. In 1 Chronicles 17:12, it says, and he shall build me a house. Talking about Solomon. David would gather the things needed to build the house. And God says, he shall build me a house, Solomon, his son, and I will establish his throne forever. It's just the faithfulness of God is in this chapter. Do you see it? Do you see that he's no way going to let anything get in front of what he's doing? And that really encourages us today, because there's a lot of stuff going on today, and yet he's got everything in control. He's totally at the wheel. He is God, and he has promised, so it shall be done. He's 100,000 correct. More than 100. I mean, 150,000 times been over and over again, his word comes true. And we can count on it that what he said is going to happen exactly like he said it. We've already looked back to prophecy and what he's done. And now we look back at a Middle East that's never been this way in the history of mankind. And yet it is poised to self-destruct. It is poised to at any moment blow up. And then we look at the weather and what's going on with the weather today. Unprecedented in the history of mankind. The weather. The pestilence that's hitting us. Unreal. Stuff that we just don't have anything. We can't stop it. It's just out of control. And we're seeing it just take out lives left and right. All these things stack up to say to what? He said, and all these things, as they come to pass, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. This day is a day to look up. He's coming soon. But if he is to tarry, I think he would have us to serve him and to be used of him and to share that gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, that Christ died for our sin to deliver us from the destructive power of sin in our lives and the power of it to control us and to lead us. It's over, man. He died to set us free out of that bondage of sin. And then he rose to give us life. I've come to give you life, and that much what? More abundantly. Because it's a soul satisfaction. It's the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. And that's what you're missing if you haven't really given it to the Lord.
You don't want to miss out. There's no need when the Lord is only a prayer away. This is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, and we've been covering the better part of 2 Chronicles chapter 22 in a message called This Little Light. Hey, would you like today's study from 2 Chronicles on CD? You can purchase a copy when you give us a call toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, that phone number is 800-353-7553. I'd also like to mention you can replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. And we also have an app, and that is a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Well, it's back to school time, so we thought it might be helpful, as a parent, to offer you a series on parent-child relationships. In this four-part series, Pastor Jeff shares his personal testimony, including how he and his wife applied biblical truths in raising their children. Request the Parent-Child Relationships four-part series on CD or on a thumb drive when you visit sounddoctrineradio.org, or again, call 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is made possible through the generous support of our listeners. And as we go through God's Word one verse at a time, we're looking to our listeners for help to pay for radio time. Together we can reach people with the love and truth of Christ that makes a difference. You can make a secure donation online, sounddoctrineradio.org, or by calling 800-353-7553. We'd love to hear from you, even if it's a quick hello telling us where you listen. Let us know how we can pray for you as well. Email us at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. We'll return to 2 Chronicles next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you as you take in and apply sound doctrine to your life in Christ. So Father,